Now, in Asia, the importance of inclusion in enhancing customer experience cannot be overstated. With its diverse population comprising various ethnicities, cultures, languages, and traditions, creating an inclusive environment is crucial for businesses to effectively cater to their customers' needs and preferences. Now, embracing diversity and fostering inclusion, companies can better understand the unique perspectives and requirements of their customers, leading to more personalized and tailored products and services. And in this podcast for Future COO, we look at how inclusive practices play a significant role in building trust and loyalty among customers, particularly women customers in Asia, and how by incorporating inclusive strategies in their operations, businesses can tap into the market segments and reach a greater customer base. Now, ultimately, prioritizing inclusion, women inclusion particularly, not only enhances the overall customer experience, but also contributes to the long-term success and sustainability of businesses in the diverse and dynamic market landscape of Asia. Joining us on Podcast for Future CAO is Ms. Jacqueline Gichelar, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Customer Experience for Asia Pacific and Japan and Greater China at Cisco Systems. Jackie, welcome to Podcast for Future COO.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
The International Women's Day 2024 theme is inclusion. Now, how would you relate customer experience and inclusion?
The first thing I would say is that promoting inclusion is not just the right thing to do. It's a really a strategic business decision that directly impacts our ability to deliver superior customer experience. And it's something that's always been very, very close to my heart. I truly believe in inclusive teams. I truly believe in diversity of thought. And what's always interesting for me, being a person who's been in technology for 33 years, as you probably know, I'm very metrics driven, and I'm always looking for the latest data points that really show why it's important. I mean, I truly believe in it from an emotional perspective, but actually, if you look at it from a business factual perspective, things like McKinsey published a report and Harvard Business Review, and amongst other statistics, what they show is that inclusive teams make better decisions by up to 87%. So 87% of the time, inclusive and diverse teams make better decisions. That's a really interesting one. And then companies that embrace gender diversity are 25% more likely to have above average returns. And so, if you think about that just for a second, it actually does impact directly your customers being satisfied, and it does impact directly the growth of your company. And it does impact directly, I think, the connection that you have to customers. And the reason why I say that is a couple of things. I have a debate with this with a number of people, but there is evidence that shows that women often excel in emotional intelligence and empathy, which honestly is key for understanding and addressing our customer concerns and building solutions. And we as a team actually recently, we hired quite a number of customer success executives, and we nearly hit 50% for the first time ever on diverse hiring, which I'm really proud of the team. And we picked the best candidates, but we took longer to look for them. And by doing that, we hit a statistic that we've never done before. So we never actually gave targets. We just said, find the best people and take your time through a thorough panel process and let's see what we can do. So yeah, I'm very, very, very happy because I do believe, above all, that the new generation, specifically girls coming into STEM, it's really important for us to encourage them to do that. And they don't always want to. They're a bit hesitant. So I think it's also important to be out there talking to them and explaining why I love my job and why they should come work with us.
Now, specific to IWD 2024, to what extent does this sense of belonging, this inclusion, relevance, and empowerment exist, say, in your organization? And now that you are part of Singapore, how you see it in the community where you are today?
What I would say is, that sense of belonging, one of the reasons that attracted me to Cisco, because I had been a customer of Cisco for decades, was its culture. And over the 5+ years I've been here now, I've gotten to know Chuck Robbins, our CEO, personally, Fran Katsoudis, our Chief People, Policy, and Purpose Officer. I know many of our executives, and I spent, as 4 years in California in head office before I moved here to the region. And, what struck me is that these are people who care about people. They're not just CEOs. They're not just executives. And even Dave West here, who's my counterpart and an incredible human being, they care about people. And when we say things like Cisco wants to power an inclusive future for all, it's not just a slogan. So what we mean actually is that Cisco invests hundreds of millions of dollars around the world in order to create technology and digitize communities that may not even have access to Wi-Fi. Now, we haven't solved it all, but we are well on our way to truly investing. I mean, we invest people, we invest technology, we work with governments. And the reason why that's close to my heart is because I come from, I don't know if you know this, I was born in Uruguay, South America, very small country, quite a lot of poverty. So we didn't have access to Wi-Fi. We didn't have access to education, and that still exists in this world. Somehow I've been lucky enough to land into a career and have been successfully in it for 33 years, but that's rare when you come from not having the ability to be able to access technology. So when we say, you know, sense of belonging is like everyone in this world should feel like they belong in this world and they all have access to the same thing. Wi-Fi, internet equals the ability to educate yourself if you may not be able to afford to go to university. And so I think, you know, we really mean it when we say it. We do a tremendous amount of employees giving back to the community. And you can pick what you might want to do. You might want to do something with women or LGBT or Asian community or whatever it would be. And I've lost count on how many communities we have in Cisco, but I can tell you that pretty much every single employee uses the 10 days that they are given. So Cisco gives employees 10 days to give back to the community. You can register your hour and you can actually take half a day off, as we did recently, on a Friday and go to the local soup kitchen and prepare food packages that go to underprivileged people's homes across Singapore who may not be able to, you know, get out of their house for physical conditions or whatnot, and therefore the food's delivered to them. So yeah, I think doing all of that, bringing the power of the different perspectives of people and allowing them to choose, I just think brings out the best in everything. It brings out the best in culture. It brings out the best in, you know, male, female, and, you know, it encourages people to want to be part of teams and communities that want to change the world for the better. So yeah, it's a very core part of our DNA here at Cisco.
What's the most prevalent obstacle these days to inclusion that you are observing in the markets?
I think that there's probably a couple of things. I mentioned one earlier. I'm very focused on trying to understand why more women don't either move into the technology path when they're young, or why maybe some companies don't have as many women applying for roles in their companies. So I try and do work across the industry, not just for Cisco. And you can see, like, I think it's depending on what people are looking for. They don't just choose the job. They choose where they work, and they choose who they work for, and they choose who they work with. And so what I see is that there is a hesitation in some cases for women to apply or even move into the technology industry. So I try to lead by example and share my personal stories as many times as I can. And it's something that, yeah, again, Cisco does do, but I think that we need to do more. We bring in early in careers, we make sure there's females as part of that, and then they come through Cisco. But I just feel that we can do more, number one. And then secondly, there are parts of Asia Pacific, Japan, and Greater China that I see lower percentages of women in the more senior levels. And so, again, I like to lead by example, and I'm always actively looking for great talent and trying to make my team as diverse as possible, because I know when I've had truly diverse teams, not only female, male, but culture, different parts of the world or different parts of APJC, I think that's when you really bring out the strength in teams. But look, I would say in conclusion, we have more work to do. We are making progress, but we've always got more work to do. So I always like to keep raising the bar.
Again, drawing from your experience, what can we learn in terms of achieving this inclusion? What were the success factors that, in your view, have brought about this 50% that you said in terms of the new hire?
So I would say, first of all, you know, regular discussions. So regular review of how are we doing? How's our performance? What does our diversity look like? Are our teams being open? Are they supporting each other? There's various ways in which we monitor for that. And I think if you don't monitor, you can't manage. Or some would say, you know, you need statistics in order to know whether you're heading in the right direction. So one thing I would say is just stay focused. This is not a one-off exercise. This is something that you have to be looking at all the time. And if it's not moving in the direction that you want, then you need to be able to create an environment with your team, like I do with my leaders. I say, why is it working better? You know, and I don't want to call anyone out because, and this is just a made up example. Okay, so why is Singapore statistics better than Japan's? Or it could be other way around. Why is Japan better than Singapore? So I encourage my leaders to talk about it. Why is one theater struggling to attract diversity or diverse candidates? Like, what's happening there? And where we've got good examples and best practice, what's their secret sauce? And how do we all learn on the journey so that we can all keep elevating our perspective? So I think one is definitely making sure you keep your eye on it. One of our success factors is leveraging technology, as I mentioned earlier, to reach underserved communities and really bridging that gap. And I think technology really is a powerful tool for achieving not only inclusion, but also customer experience. Because I think the more people you bring to the table with differing views, I think the better outcomes that you'll get for your customers. Yeah, and then collaborative culture would be the final one that I would mention. The more we collaborate and the more your organization collaborates, I think that is something that is, it's not a buzzword. I think collaboration, for me, when it really works, that's when teams come together at their best. And I don't always get it right, but I know when you get that click to happen between your leadership team and a true collaboration, it doesn't matter what job I do, but we actually win together. We win with a diverse team. We are stronger together in front of our customers and giving them our best if we are at our best. So that, you know, it's easy to say culture and collaboration, but, you know, I truly mean it. And I watch for that intensely because I actually have high emotional intelligence. So it's something that I tune into quite easily, or unfortunately for my team. I'm not sure which one.
I'm sure they find a lot more inspiration with your example. Now, you've done a lot going through the years. How do you plan to raise the bar to elevate your commitment to inspiring inclusion?
I would say a couple of things, and actually it sort of has to do with my journey, I think, in some way. So from Uruguay to Australia, I then went to Germany for 4 years with Deutsche Bank as their CTO. And then I went to London for 5 and New York for 3 and then back to London. And then eventually San Francisco with Cisco and now Singapore. And my mother keeps saying to me, you're nearly home. You've been all around the world and you're nearly home, except I told her it would be 2 years and it ended up being 20. So on my career journey, look, it's been challenging, but extremely rewarding. And because I came from a different culture when I arrived in Australia, I'm very mindful of different cultures. So having lived in parts of Europe and the US, and now I'm back in Asia, which is where I grew up, I feel that I bring a lot of very different and more broad perspectives of how you should just treat people in different cultures in general. And, you know, I love APJC. I mean, I love living in Singapore. It's probably the best time of my career right now. And I feel that, and I mean it when I say it. And so to me, just by the fact that I've moved around, I feel like I just keep raising the bar. I'm not meaning to, but I know what I did before and I want to do it better now. I always say to the team, the best transformation I was ever involved in was when I was in Deutsche Bank in Germany leading thousands of German men. And who would have thought that even though that was extremely difficult in the beginning, we would end up with a very diverse team that achieved amazing results. And I say to the team, now that I'm at Cisco, I feel like this is the next big transformation I'll be involved in with an amazing group of people. But again, it has to have the secret sauce. It has to be a diverse team. We have to make sure we're measuring all the right things. We have to make sure we're having the right conversations, and we have to continue to raise the bar. So we will raise the bar on diversity. We will raise the bar on inclusion. We will raise the bar on collaboration. And by default, all those things mean that we should, and we are, because I can see it in the metrics, raise the bar on our performance and our performance as it relates to why we are here, our customers. Our customers should say, wow, what happened to that Cisco company? They've now modernized and now they're talking to me different and now they're showing up, caring more, and now their technology's landing faster than it ever has before. I mean, that's eventually where it needs to show up. But in order for that to happen, you need to have all the foundations in place. So yeah, I'm excited for the next couple of years, as you can tell.
You mentioned earlier the topic of STEM and the need to bring in more girls to come in early at their stage in their career to help them drive the future of being part of a more technology-driven world. What is your advice for them to encourage them to join the team, to be part of STEM and help direct the next evolution of technology and how we consume and include it in our daily lives?
That's a great question. What I normally say to young women is, I usually start with a question, what do you think Cisco does? And then they usually respond with very, very different answers. And then the second question I ask is, what type of jobs do you think Cisco offers? And then typically they say engineering or development, application development. And then that's when I say to them, what's the percentage of engineers you think Cisco has? And then they'll respond with something. And then I'll say, well, actually, it's a lot less than you think. Because if you look at Cisco as a company and you look at most technology companies, let's say 20% of their workforce is usually in sales and customer experience of some sort. And then maybe like 30, 40% are in engineering. And then the other 30 odd percent, you've got marketing people, you've got product management people, you have human resource people, you have finance people. So all those jobs you think you have to go find somewhere else also exist in Cisco. It's not just that we are, 80,000 engineers. No, half of our company is things that have nothing to do with technology. We just happen to work inside a technology company. We have finance people, human resource people, project managers, and these are roles that anyone can do. I mean, people can learn to be project managers if they apply themselves to it. They can learn to be, finance management people. It depends on really where you want to go. And I think more and more as companies, technology companies in particular, move to really ensuring they drive the value for their customers, it becomes really important that you have more of a, let's say, a supportive discussion with your customers. So when I meet our customers, I don't ask them, what did you buy from Cisco? I ask them, what keeps you up at night? What is your strategy? Where are you struggling? Where can I bring a team to help you? Because I want to understand their business. And yes, of course, eventually, if it makes sense, maybe they'll do some business with Cisco and then maybe they'll love us and maybe they'll continue with us forever. That's the hope. And so that caring nature of customer relationships, I think that's where women, that's where they excel. Customer success executive roles, or even some product management roles where you're talking to customers about the types of products they want to buy from Cisco in the future, where you're empathizing with them and you're trying to understand where they're going so we can help build solutions that suit where our customers are going. That's what we're always trying to do. So that's what I would say. That's what I would say. There's so many roles here that are not just engineering. So come join Cisco.
Again, thank you for joining us on Podcast for Future COO.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That was Ms. Jacqueline Guichelar, Senior Vice President, General Manager for Customer Experience, Asia Pacific and Japan, and Greater China for Cisco, on the topic of how inclusion deepens customer experience in 2024. You are listening to Podcast for Future COO. As always, if you have a topic you'd like us to cover on this channel, simply email us at editors@society.com. We'd also like to invite you to sign up for a free weekly newsletter so you won't miss an episode of Podcast for Future COO. In the meantime, stay safe, have a great day, and see you on the next episode of Podcast for Future COO. Bye for now.